This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. I'm Ian Walker, veteran accountant, native of Philadelphia, graduate of the Wharton School in his hometown of Philadelphia. And he's been in Baton Rouge now for over a couple of decades, and he is president of, give me the official title,
Financial Tax and Accounting Service.
First Financial Tax and Accounting Service, and they have been an underwriter for us in previous iterations. So thanks, Amin, for coming in to give us the take on how it's going, and that's where the action is right now. It's all this paperwork that businesses are completing and filing in hopes that they'll be blessed by the government and receive a check, and you have done, how many of these
120.
Requests? 120. And how many, do you know how many have been accepted?
Oh, no, that's applied and accepted.
120.
Yes.
All have been accepted?
Yes.
Wow. Because I hear these stories, especially people who have used large banks and not having that same success rate. Why have large banks been an issue in your judgment?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I actually have experience with that. I applied with Chase, which is my main bank that I deal with.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went on for weeks and weeks, and they just kept saying, we're going to get to them, we're going to process them. We have 375,000 of them. And finally, on the last day before the funding ran out in the first round, I pulled my app from Chase, and I actually went through Fidelity, a much smaller bank, and had the approval the same day. And, you know, I think what happened, unfortunately, and they're facing a few class action lawsuits, Chase, Capital One, Wells Fargo, having to deal with them prioritizing their loans and getting the loans for larger companies. The biggest, most notable, of course, is the corporate location for Ruth's Chris was done through Chase. And where they got their $20 million right away, all these other businesses just sat.
Well, you certainly have dealt with Chase, as I have, and we get great service locally. But this is a huge monolithic bank founded in 1799 by Aaron Burr, by the way, the vice president who shot and killed Alexander Hamilton in a duel. But you're saying that in some cases it appears that your local bank may very well be a better option based on just numbers of success than the big guys.
It is. I mean, we're seeing them, whether they're the Red Rivers or the Gulf Coast, the smaller banks are definitely responding faster. They're able to process the loans faster. And you know, since the program is supposed to be set, there's supposed to be a set group of paperwork that's needed for it. But unfortunately, there's been so much interpretation that's gone along with it that some banks are actually, I'm hearing stories, turning down loans because they don't understand the program.
877-217-5757 for Amin Walker, and this is Giving Tuesday. And as you know, times are tough for all of us, but especially so for nonprofits. In a bit, we'll hear from Paul Mawson, the station manager of WRKF, which has been a beacon of light on your dial for more than 40 years now. And thanks to Jim Brandt, the former head of PAR, one of the great people in our community, for an additional gift this morning. 877-217-5757, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. So I think maybe now would be a good time to reconsider some of those real estate tax breaks that the state has given to big industry. I mean, I know to the oil refineries and the chemical plants, they have a really big tax credit that we could use right now. So anyway, what do you think about that? Thanks.
I mean?
Well, you know, tax breaks are needed, and, you know, a real estate tax credit would surely help those landlords that are out there, which should translate to the individuals. There's been a lot of debate, though, whether or not it should come in the form of tax breaks or it should just be bridge loans or forgiveness by the banks. Several lenders have pushed off payments for 90 days. Or push those 90 days to the end of the loans. And, you know, that's something that can be done without costing more money, which it's going to cost more money if we do tax breaks.
877-217-5757. Adam Knapp gave kind of a mixed review for businesses, but we know they're hurting. In fact, people are even using the D word, depression, for what may be in the offing. By the way, the number has now crossed 70,000 deaths from coronavirus. And by the time this abates, sometime next year, hopefully, we quite likely will have more deaths from coronavirus than we did for soldiers in World War II, the greatest military loss in the history of this country. And for business and how we've had to adjust to try to keep people from contracting this, how has it hurt having this shut down for 7 weeks?
Well, you know, I listened to Mr. Knapp talk about that, and, you know, there are certain businesses. My business is working remotely, working from home, and is very busy because, unfortunately, we've got tax season, we've got all these payroll tax credits, and we got PPP and everything else that we're dealing with. But, you know, the stay-at-home doesn't work for most businesses. It works for some service businesses. So, you know, the restaurant, for instance, that I'm involved in is closed right now. We opened for a little while, that, you know, doing the delivery, but we're really a sit-down breakfast restaurant. So, you know, we're doing absolutely nothing in that business. And that's what most businesses that are shut down are doing. I've got some, you know, barbers and salons that are just sitting there with nothing to do, unfortunately.
Well, a lot of us need a haircut.
Many of us need a haircut, as we can see.
I need one worse than you, yeah. 877-217-5757. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on with Amin Walker.
Yeah, I've noticed it's a lot of women actually showed up at the protest. Women business owners, hair salons, tanning booths, gym owners. I met a yoga instructor. It's a lot of women.
So you were there. You were there, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I thought I saw you with a megaphone.
Yeah, that was the first protest, which was a smaller one, but they're getting bigger and bigger. And I noticed more women business owners are showing up. A lot of women business owners are there more than the men, because their businesses, like the hair salons and all, really have been affected by the shutdown. And but I guess to get to my point, y'all were talking about the loans and the forbearance. Like, I'm a landlord. The forbearance does nothing to help me, because you got to come up with all the money in 120 days. So there's no point in even putting it off. I'm still paying my loans, and luckily most of my tenants are still paying their rent. But yeah, what's hurting me, of course, is the court system, you know, because even when they reopen businesses, it could be a while before the courts reopen. Of course, I've talked about that on your program already, but I don't know. I'd like to hear what you say about women-owned businesses, I guess.
All right. Well, people who are doing certain kinds of work are hurt more than others because of this, because of having to touch people and be in close proximity. Some people say that's just common sense, Patrick, but at some point, if these businesses are going to stay alive, they've got to get rolling again. Patrick does have a significant and cogent point in that order. So what are you hearing about people who have certain types of businesses who have been really impacted by this shutdown? And we don't know what's coming either, of course.
Sure. I mean, there are so many, you know, on so many different levels, but absolutely things like salons and bars and, you know, those types of places that have to be completely shut down right now are struggling. You know, I'll cite another example. He mentioned a landlord deal, you know, and I am a landlord. I have not actually given forgiveness or forbearance per se on mine. We reduced everybody's rent to $100. To help them through this time. And then that way they're not stuck with that big loan or that big payment at the end of 90 days that he mentioned. But, you know, other landlords are experiencing the same thing. I have another business that I actually do lease a building from, and they refuse to do any kind of help. So I'm paying the rent there, and it is a salon suite. So I'm paying the rent there every month while I'm waiting for things to reopen. So absolutely, I mean, you know, there are these businesses that have to completely close that still have expenses. And even if they don't have expenses, they're having problems with, you know, their employees are now on unemployment. So even getting them back is going to be a problem, considering how much unemployment is paying right now.
Your number to call WRKF on Giving Tuesday is 855-893-9753. And as mentioned, these are especially challenging times for nonprofits, WRKF included, and community is about doing something together that makes belonging matter. So you can do two good deeds in one, supporting WRKF's expanded regional reporting and daily COVID-19 updates. It's Giving Tuesday again. 855-893-9753. And what a gallant lady Alka Joshi is. For 2 days in a row, we have scheduled her, and she has graciously stepped aside. And she has this remarkable story, and we will get to it sometime very soon this week. And thanks for this this exceptional person in the great state of California, which has now passed Louisiana, finally, in the number of COVID-19 cases. But we'll return with Amin Walker of First Financial Tax and Accounting Services after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thanks again to Alka Joshi for agreeing to return later in the week, and we will talk with her. And what a remarkable story she has about arranged marriages, which are still ongoing in the world's most populous country of India. In the U.S., we have 4.3% of the world population, 4.3, and we've got 28% of the COVID-19 deaths. So we have seven times the number we should. And it has affected businesses immensely, and the government has sprung into action with a $2.2 trillion package that was followed up by almost a half-trillion second package, and there may be a third one to come. But these loans may very well be forgiven, but they may not, too. And Amin Walker is with us to answer questions. If you'd like to pose them, 877-217-5757. Amin is president of First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. I mean, as far as the amount that will be forgiven, if a company gets a, let's say, a loan of $100,000, is it a given that all of that will be forgiven, or is it one of those where parts of it will? How does it look at this point?
Okay, so yes, parts of it will be forgiven. There's a difference between whether it's a Schedule C income or another type of income, but for all intents and purposes, if they receive $100,000, once they receive the money, which is a problem in and of itself when they receive the money, it starts an eight-week clock. And then over that next 8 weeks, they may pay payroll out of it. They can pay their health insurance costs for employees, and they can pay their state unemployment taxes out of that money. And then they can also pay other items like rent or mortgage interest. They can pay utilities with them. Now, all of those things had to be in effect on February 15th, but they will come up with how much can be forgiven, and it might very well be all of it, but it might not be as well.
But are businesses fully aware of the implications of this?
Well, you know, we try to make them as aware as possible. Unfortunately, several things change along the way.
When you say you've mm-hmm. got 120, but there are a lot of businesses in the country, and I suspect some accountants are probably very diligent, and then others just say, here's the money, do whatever you want. But if the money has to be paid back, some people don't like being in debt.
Right, and I completely agree with that. You know, it's our and the bank's responsibility to make sure we let people know what they have to do to have those amounts forgiven. Because, again, they're not all going to be forgiven. So, you know, they need to understand what they can spend the money on, how they can spend the money. And when I mentioned about getting the money in the eight-week clock, that's a problem. I've got a dental office, for instance, that got a loan 3 weeks ago, but it's still closed. So now, you know, once they're allowed to open back up, which they are one of the ones affected, then they only have 4 weeks mm-hmm. to try to spend this money because it's a rolling clock.
By the way, I drove by a dental office yesterday and I saw 10 cars in the parking lot, which indicates there might be something going on inside that dental office. Are they one of those who can be open, or are they supposed
They're supposed to only be open for emergency procedures. But, you know, the thing you might have seen very well, which is something that could be happening, is they might have received their PPP money, so it behooves them to have their employees come in even though they're closed, whether that's to sterilize or do new procedures or maybe training or something like that. But that might be the 10 cars you saw out front. They might have been employees, or mm-hmm. or they might have had 10 people that needed emergency crowns. I doubt it, but they might have.
Now, some people apparently are getting unemployment right now. We've had, of course, 30 million people who have filed and more to come. Mm-hmm. These are Great Depression type numbers. And right now, the unemployment is a pretty good deal, especially if you live in Louisiana. $847 a week is a lot more bang for your buck than $847 in New York City. But how long will this $847 continue?
Well, you know, it was supposed to continue for 39 weeks. And, you know, this is one of the problems when the legislature gets together and throws together a bill or real quick. They don't really think of the implications. And what they should have done was that extra $600 should have been limited by how much money you're actually making, because I've got restaurant people who have employees that aren't going to come back because they were making $10 an hour, and now they're making, you know, this $847 a week, which is twice as much as they were making while they were working.
All right. Well, if that 39-week thing is in place, that's $33,000. Is that taxable?
Yes, unemployment income is taxable.
Okay, but $33,000 over 39 weeks in Louisiana is above, that is above the average income.
Absolutely.
So you have people who are working and working hard, and then others who are just sitting home and getting the $33,000 for the next 9 months.
Right. And you know, that is the initial problem with it. But, you know, this thing extends because the PPP forgiveness requires you to compare your employees to the employees you had prior to February 15th. And any one employee that you have that was on the books cannot be making less than 25% of what, or cannot have taken more than a 25% cut on what they were making. So now you have these PPP people trying to get forgiveness, and they can't because they don't have the same employees or they don't have the same number of employees, which both have to be in effect right now.
This is a story from Matt Doyle, our producer, in his other iteration with being the assistant news director of the Louisiana Radio Network. This was on April 27th, and actually Mary Patricia Ray sent this to me. She's obviously following your work, Matt. The governor gave the okay for most dental procedures to begin along with time-sensitive elective medical surgeries. Former Dental Association President Dr. Christy Swallow says the only work not being allowed is cosmetic dentistry. That is the sole purpose of enhancing someone's appearance. Things like veneers, bonding, gum lifts, they have those? They are they are not being done. But ongoing orthodontic procedures like checkups for braces, wires, aligners are allowed as procedures to do new braces. And so some of the dental work is obviously now back in the usual place. And I tell you what, if you've got a toothache and you can't see a dentist, that is torture.
Right, but you've been able to do that since the shutdown. So if you've had an emergency, a problem like that, you could do it.
Well, yeah. I got in to see an eye doctor with a little bit, well, I wouldn't call it an emergency, but I had some eye issues. But they're okay now because I got to see my doctor. Russell Saloon. 877-217-5757 is your number. In our remaining time with Amin Walker and the unemployment thing now, does everybody get the 847? This is a question from Tracy at the Capitol. I mean, is it that simple, or do you have to go through some hoops to get this money? And what is it, 600 from the feds, 247 from the state? Is that the way
so
it works?
So what happened is you do need to apply online. I think it's become easier to apply. You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops, but you do have to provide documentation. So you can get unemployment because you were laid off or furloughed. You can also get unemployment if your wages were reduced or your hours were reduced by your employer in order to do this. Now, the $600 is set for anybody that's approved for the unemployment. The $247 is not actually set. That's based on 40% of your actual pay that you received prior to it. So if you received $1,000 a month, you're only looking at $400 over the course of a month or $100 a week. So yours would be about $700.
Okay. Amin Walker of First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And right now in the state, for example, there was a story last week where people may end up being punished if they try to take unemployment in lieu of returning to work.
Well, they should be. And the only way that they're going to be able to, some of these employers are going to be able to get their employees back is if they have a mechanism for them not to stay on unemployment. And it is up to the actual business to report to unemployment that they've offered the person their job back, because they're supposed to be looking for a job while they're on unemployment as well. So if they've been offered a job and they won't go back to it because they're going to make less money, that's not an excuse and their unemployment benefits will stop.
Last question for Amin, and this is a good one from Tom on Bluebonnet. What about people who have been furloughed like a day? Can they file for unemployment?
You can file for any lost wage. So even if you were furloughed for a day or you were cut back 2 hours a week on your benefits, now that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the full benefit. But okay. Yes, you can.
Well, thank you as always for your insights. Amin Walker, First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And it is rare, but it happens occasionally on the front page of the New York Times that a coach who dies is featured prominently, and that is the case with Don Shula. 1930 to 2020, Don Shula, who won more games than any head coach in the National Football League's history, led the Miami Dolphins to the league's only perfect season and helped usher pro football into its modern era, died Monday in Florida, 90. His death at his home in Indian Creek near Miami Beach was the end of a long life for a very successful man. Shula was a steely tactician, taskmaster, built fearsome defenses, explosive offenses, and taking his teams, the Colts and the Dolphins, to six Super Bowls. He won two with the Dolphins, and he won more games than any coach in the history of the National Football League, 328 regular season games. He was named head coach of the Colts in 1963 when he was all of 33 years old. He coached there for seven seasons. Memorably had a loss in Super Bowl III to the New York Jets and Joe Willie Namath, 16-7. His team was an 18-point favorite and lost in Miami, where he would eventually have his greatest glory, January 12, 1969. His last year with the Colts was in 69, and a listener sent me a box score from the Saints and Colts, played in Old Tulane Stadium. In 1969, October 19th, the Colts beat the Saints 30-10. Johnny Unitas was the Baltimore quarterback. He was 20 of 28 for 319 yards and three touchdowns. Don Shula, of course, with the Dolphins. He had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Bob Greasy and in Dan Marino. And in between, he had LSU's David Woodley, who led the Dolphins to the 1983 Super Bowl, which they lost to the Washington Redskins. And one of his assistants, his defensive coordinator in his greatest success, was Bill Arntzbarger, who became head football coach at LSU 1984 to 1986. 26 wins, 8 losses, 3 ties for Bill Arntzbarger. But Don Shula, a great life, a great career. He attended Mass every day, by the way. Dead at 90 years old. We'll return with Paul Mawson, the station manager of WRKF, on Giving Tuesday after this brief pause on Talk Louisiana.